I don't know about you, Steve, but this time of year, I just cannot get enough of all things rugby league as we excitedly count down to the season launch. What about you, mate?
Yeah, the greatest game of all is just weeks away, and I can't wait to see the ball flying, try scoring, and those big hits, mate.
Absolutely, and we thought we'd have a crack. We're putting ourselves out there. We're certainly leaving ourselves open to cop an absolute hammering when we get plenty of things wrong. But we just thought, well, we often have those pub conversations about what we think of the game. It's something we've done since we worked together all those years ago. So we thought, why not do it on the pod? Put our opinions out there. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I can't wait, mate. I'm expecting to get plenty of kickback on our most overrated player for each team. And Obviously the latter prediction will be the most controversial one. I know there's going to be a few fans out there with aren't happy with the comments and aren't happy with the predictions, but that's part of the game. That's part of the fun.
Absolutely. So if you're looking to stick the boot into us or you just want to get your fix of pre-season rugby league, check it out. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. Getting excited about finally talking some footy, getting close to the rugby league season. How you been?
Absolutely. Yeah, going well, mate. Just over a week back into full-time work, and I'm still okay. So
you've made it through.
Exactly. So off the back of last review we did a couple of weeks ago, and when we were saying we enjoyed the bit where we just talked off the cuff and we're talking about who was going to be our wooden spooners, we thought, well, let's do some more stuff that we'll enjoy. Hopefully the listeners will enjoy it a bit as well. And yep, we talked about let's preview the season, but we'll do it a bit different. We're not going to go through and look at the technical aspects of every team, because we're just not, well, you've got a bit of idea about that, but it's just not where we sit. But we thought we'll do a fan's thoughts on some of those conversations you have around the pub, and give our thoughts on every team. And we're going to break down four of the teams today. Now, I know a lot of the categories we came up with, that was a lot of your research. So just explain a little bit for the listeners the methodology that you and I come up with, and a lot of your research.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, mate, about just, you know, the lads sitting around the pub and what sort of topics that you have a little bit of a debate about, you know, strengths and weaknesses of different teams, and, you know, whether coaches are under a bit of pressure, you know, who the smoky for a rep team is, sort of thing. So more just of a chat, and some of those things that you can have a little bit of a friendly argument at the pub over a couple of schooners about, mate, just to bring a little bit of excitement to get our blood flowing for the footy. And 100%. Hopefully, you know, the listeners can take it away and even comment with some of their opinions, because I'm sure ours won't be well-liked in a few different categories, but we'll see what happens.
That's the beauty of it. We're guaranteed to get negative feedback on this. That's a given. And we've played it pretty safe, but we are going to name our 1-17, which, I've got to be honest, one of the more challenging tasks I've had to undertake in the last week and a half.
Yeah, definitely, mate. If we lob on 2 or 3 out of the 17, I think we're doing well.
Yeah, exactly. Given how many people had the Raiders to finish last year. You've got to choose someone, and no doubt we're going to make some mistakes, but that'll be just part of the fun. And those who want to criticise, we'll get them to put up their 1-17 and we'll compare.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. I think you're doing well if you can get a handful right.
Exactly. All right, we're starting. So we're going to do basically two Sydney teams, a Queensland team, and a miscellaneous. And so this week we're starting Rabbits, Tigers, Bronx, and Storm.
So yeah, spot on, mate.
Let's get into it. Rabbits. Strengths, mate. What do you think about the Rabbits for 26?
Oh, look, mate, I think the what South have built on this left edge is the exciting part of it, right? So obviously there's a lot of question marks over a few of them, fitness-wise as well as as well as how they back up after what happened last year. But think Fifita with Latrell, Walker, and then, you know, who will be the greatest try scorer in NRL history? Alex Johnson out on the left edge. That has to be their strength. There's no question. I mean, you can obviously throw up Bennett, being their coach is a pretty huge strength, but certainly that left edge, if they stay fit and firing like they're promising, could be fireworks and it could be exciting to watch.
Absolutely. Their best 17 looks so good on paper. I know the game's not played on paper, but if they can stay fit, then they're every chance of making the eight. What really stood out for me is 2-3-5, 2 through 5. That's a big men, big powerful men.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be huge strength for them. So getting the carries out of their own half will be important, and then that left edge come attacking. If you look up, you're a right side half defending against Fifita, Latrell, Walker doing his magic, and then if they slide Dry Gray out, he's electrifying from fullback. It looks like that's how they're going to line up at the moment. Could be awesome,
and it's not awful on the right either. Talis Duncan. I mean, we expect Jamie Humphries to be the half. We're gonna have Talis Duncan into Jack White and into Campbell Graham, who's gonna be a handful on the wing if that's where he ends up.
Yeah, 100%. I've got them down as a few of my answers for a couple of the questions we'll go through in the past. I've got a few draps on Graham and Duncan, definitely, mate. So they line up pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. The weaknesses for me is that exactly that. Last year they had a heap of injuries. So they've got some of those younger guys who've had experience now, but their depth was really tested, particularly in the halves. Like Cody's been getting more and more injured as he gets older. The spine is inexperienced. How many games would Mamazoulas have played? He's only been there a few seasons. If Cody gets injured, then you're looking at like you had last year, you're looking at a pretty inexperienced spine, despite the fact that those guys have put together some good footy, like Dry Gray in particular, unbelievable. Yeah. But reputation means nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, mate. I mean, they signed Glover that'll probably back up Humphries, especially early. Humphries has got a couple of weeks out at halfback, but you smack bang. I think they're a little light on is through the middle. You talk about Brendan Smith, you know, he'll certainly split his time at lock and hooker, so he'll give some guidance. But, you know, Kyle Matangi went down late last year, and that really hurt them well through the middle. So, probably a little bit skinny through the middle, so the forwards and, as you said, the spine, but fully fit, it's a very interesting prospect. So that'll be a big test for the Rabbitohs to keep him on the park.
It will. And in recent years, their key players have been injured a lot, and that's going to be the challenge. I also, if you look at how much the game is going towards speed, we talked about how big that back line was, but there's not a great deal of speed there. And that may, we're talking Gray and Johnson, obviously there's some speed, but Whiten and Mitchell, I don't know. There's a few question marks around how they'll play given how the game has sped up. So I think they are one of those teams, like a lot of teams, that could be anywhere from 6 down to 13 or 14, maybe even 15, depending on how things unfold.
Yep. Yeah, I agree, mate. You've got to keep him on the park. And then it'll be interesting, to your point, see how they play Gray. He's obviously their live wire, their spark.
Their energy.
With that pace through the middle. So to see where they play him will be big. There's talk about they're not real sure how Latrell's going to play, whether it'll be a traditional centre or he'll roam and float a little bit. So it'll be really interesting to sit back in those first few weeks of the trial matches, especially, and see how they play. But, the dry Gray is going to have a lot on his shoulders around that explosive pace, because, to your point, they're not offering a great deal outside of him.
Yeah, agree. Injury concern, like I mentioned already, Cody Walker for me, he's, what is he now, 36? When he's there and he's fully fit, and this will come in and answer some of my other questions, he's such a barometer for that team. But, that's my concern. If he's injured, where do they go in the halves?
Yeah, you're right, mate. We tried to keep that that question to one player, but with South, there are just so many. You look at last year, Walker, Luttrell, Murray, absolute class.
Smith,
Locke, Smith, Klamatangi went down. So they've got some injury concerns. So no question that's going to be their kick point. If those players, Murray especially through the middle, if they can get back to, you know, fit and healthy and play a full season, it'll have a huge difference in their outcome, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, that's where the pressure will be applied. Again, if Cody gets injured, the pressure will be in the halves. They'll be there anyway, just because as good as Humphries has been and what he's shown in the limited time he's been out there, he's still a young bloke, only making his way. And again, depth will be tested. So where do you see the pressure for this team?
I think the two players that are under a bit of pressure has come from last year. So I sort of think Fifita and Brendan Smith, through different reasons, I think they're almost starting to get to the stage where it's have a crack or we're going to end up in England or we're going to end up coming off the bench for a large portion of the time. Fifita could end this season as the premier second rower in the comp and go to the World Cup for Australia or Tonga for that matter, or he could end the season coming off the bench as a middle front rower, middle forward sort of thing. So I think for both of them, there's a fair bit of pressure there around just expectations for their potential and trying to realise that. I see that as a big one, and who knows, the strength and conditioning bloke at South will be sweating bullets for most of the season as well. What about yourself, mate?
I think the pressure's on the halves, like I said. In terms of that rep thing, you already mentioned him, our smoky for rep teams. I think, like you said, Fifita could end up. I just think it's almost last chance. Bennett's got the best out of him previously. Like you said, that left edge, I just think he could have a big year. So he's my smoky for the reps.
Yeah. I got two guys that we mentioned earlier that are on the opposite side, Campbell Graham and Tallis Duncan. You know, with the assumption that who knows what's going to happen with the Lomax circus, there's potentially some movements in the outside backs for New South Wales. I think Campbell Graham on the wing, tall body for kick targets, really drives the ball well out of his own half.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I could see him picking up a wing spot for New South Wales. And Tallis Duncan's probably a little bit too early in his career, but he's just got that origin style. You know, we spoke about that Queensland style. I know he's a New South Wales guy, but works his ass off, doesn't make mistakes. And another 12 months under his belt could really put him into the reckoning. So they're my two for the Rabbitohs, mate.
Love it. Dally M, highest point scorer. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Dally M for me, I think if they're going to have a crack, I think, you know, Trell's their magic man, for use of a better term. Everything's going to revolve around Walker, no question, but Trell's that class. You know, if they're really going to go on a run, he's going to be their one, and no guesses for top try scorer with Alex Johnson, right? It's groundhog day for him. I think they're just going to keep going that left edge. Walker Luttrell and Fifita will get used as decoys at different times, and are just always going to end up at Johnson. So they're probably my two for Dally M and top try scorer, mate.
My only concern with AJ is if he doesn't knock over the record early, like, will it become a thing?
Yeah, look, quite possibly. He's shown he just keeps on finding that try line. I don't know what will happen, you know, if he does find it early. I don't know what will happen after that for him. If they still see him as a guy who's going to be there on what they're hoping is grand final day. But, yeah, potentially, there'll certainly be a lot of media around it. So he'll it'll be front row and centre. He won't be able to hide from it.
Pressure on. For me, Dally M, Joy Gray, when we were out there for the Para game at Allianz, mate, he's unbelievable. Not just what he does with the ball, energy, making those runs, creating stuff with his speed, but he put off some unbelievable defensive plays for a bloke his size. One like, it looked like for all money, Iongi was going to score the winner, and he's knocked him over within an inch of the line with just an unbelievable legs tackle. So good. Yeah, I just think he will be someone who will be in the points every single week. He just seems to be that player, always energy.
Yeah, great shout, mate. If Jai Gray can get to that level and cause some havoc with the Dally M's, then South are going to be in a bloody good spot with who they've got around him.
100%. Mate, again, it's a logjam, 6th through to 15th, really, I see it. I just couldn't find enough people to drop to give an above 13th, so I'm sure that's going to earn some negativity from the South fans. But, yeah, I've got them finishing 13. What about you?
Yeah, look, I was the same as you. I started to look at it. I'm going to lob on the fact that they probably are going to cop some injuries. Just history will tell you that. So I had them from 9 to 12 and lobbed on the 10th spot. So just missing out in the semis. It's going to be a log jam through that place on the table. But, I think just a couple of injuries, as history will show, they'll get. So probably around that 10th spot, I've got them.
Fair call. Just lastly, just looking from a performance perspective, the mental edge for South for me is Wayne Bennett. He knows how to get teams up. Maybe he hasn't had the runs on the board for a while, but they'll be hard to beat. That is without doubt. They've got a real good sprinkling of representative players of hard edge that, again, they're going to be really hard to beat. The weakness is what we talked about before. It's the injuries. But it's also if Luttrell and Fifita don't go well, then the noise is going to get loud around. Should they be there? Well, I mean, Mitchell's going to get picked regardless, but where should he be playing? Is he doing enough? And that will be the real test, I reckon, for them.
Yeah, agreed, mate. 100%. There'll be a lot of focus on this team. There'll be a lot of media, like there always is with South, obviously, but especially with a few of them coming off the season they had last year.
Absolutely. Supercoach, this is your domain.
Mate, there's actually some few interesting ones with South. So for Fifita, coming off the year he had, starts really cheap at about $485,000. So he will be a lock for my side, as will Murray, coming back off an injury. Most experienced super coaches will tell you you don't touch someone who's come off an injury like this, but Murray's different, right? He's just a phenomenal athlete. And then, you know, the 5'8 spot is an absolute wasteland at the moment. So you've either got to pay up for Munster or go a bit cheaper. So Cody Walker at 399, if he plays the season and plays the full year, he's an absolute must-have as well, a bargain. So there's three on the fairly cheap end that we're expecting some good things out of early for Supercoach.
Like it. You've almost tempted me to join. Almost. okay, Tigers. Tigers, for me, I like a lot, but I just can't get around the fact that they've got the unknown of what's happened in the back office. And for that reason, I haven't been able to rank them higher. I just think they had enough improvement in them. Strengths, to me, there's little change from the past. There's consistency there. There's some of those young forwards, and now I've got nearly 50 games under their belt, which is when they talk about players really coming to their own. Taylor May, full preseason. They've got a big mobile forward pack. The spine is pretty set. Mate, there's a lot to like for me.
Yeah, mate, the strengths I've got down are the May brothers. I couldn't have been more impressed with both of them last year. Certainly, Taylan coming back from, you know, only half a year, a quarter of a year, for him to do what he did. And then we also saw Tyrell May, you know, come off that Roosters drama and just was huge, phenomenal year. So, look, the squad is getting better each season. There's no question about it. I think they're still a way off from the top teams. But, certainly a few of those key strike players, to your point, with another year under their belt, I'm expecting some big things out of a few of them. They've signed Kai Pierce-Paul from the Knights. I think his style of footy sort of suits Tigers a little bit more. He's a little bit more free-flowing, offload kind of guy. So he could be a real good pickup for them as well. So I think their strength is that they're growing, you know, that their squad is getting better and it's positive, no question.
And weaknesses?
Well, you can toss up the weaknesses as a depth. I think, you know, a couple of injuries, as an example, Tyrell May goes down. in the middle, they're really light on. They lose their best player in Jerome Luluai, and it is panic stations. And then the other ones, the bleeding obvious with the Tigers, is their front office. Like, if that's not the laughing stock of the NRL, I don't know what is, mate. So either one of those two could hurt them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always had a soft spot from the Tigers when in the late 80s, early 90s, when Parra were shit. I kind of...
it's your bets.
Yeah, I was very much on the Tigers bandwagon, just as a young bloke looking for someone to get behind. So I hope they do well. I'm, there's a few concerns. Obviously, I had depth as well. And my other concern is Dewey is another guy who has been injured a lot. The idea that he may play halfback, Latu Fainu, incredible talent, but is he the guy who can steer him around? Does Jerome play 5'8"? Does Jerome play halfback? There's just a few question marks there. They have the potential to get that absolutely right. It's just whether they can.
Yeah, great shout with Dewey. It'll be really interesting. He finished the season really strongly at half.
He did.
But, he's unfortunately played almost every position on the park over the years for the Tigers and been in and out with injuries. So it sounds like he's had a full off season this year, but whether he's a true seven and how that pans out, we'll wait and see, I suppose.
Absolutely. I hope he does well, because God, he's had to put up with some absolute heartbreak over the years with his body.
Yeah.
Pressure. Who's feeling that the most, you reckon?
Well, I've got Dewey because he's starting at seven. He's exactly what we just said. Look, when I say he's under pressure, I don't think they're expecting him to go out and play like Nathan Cleary and win him a comp. So I think the pressures will be sitting his shoulders pretty comfortably. But, Latu Fainu, as you mentioned, is a young gun and he will be hot in his heels. There's no question about that. So I think Dewey will always find a spot in the 17. But I think if they're going to, I can't see them making the 8, but if they're going to make a push, then Luluai needs some support, and it's going to be focusing on Dewey for that, mate. Who you got there is under the most pressure for the year?
Yeah, I think Luluai is always going to be under pressure just because he's outspoken and people like to have a crack at him. But for me, it's really Buller. Like, this, the noise around him moving on, even though he's continued to say he's committed, I think that won't stop. And whether he's worth the price tag, he was inconsistent. Like, I compare him to Gray at South, Yongi at Para. Like, those guys, they seem to show up every week, whereas with Buller, he wasn't. I don't know if he wasn't fully fit last year, but his best is unbelievable. He's just not showing that enough. So I reckon a big year for him. I hope he does well. He's supreme talent, but consistency.
Yeah, that's a good one with Buller. It's another one we talk about. They're getting stuck with potential as opposed to performance. So if he can live up to his potential, the strike there for the Tigers, we mentioned the back five for the Rabbitohs. You think about Taruva, May, Skelton, stuff, Toa. They've got a fairly decent back five without being superstars, but he's just got that little bit of class about him. So if he can live up to his potential, could be anything for them.
Absolutely. Let's go underrated, overrated, mate.
Yeah, underrated. I got Taylor May, who's also my smoky for a rep debut this year.
I'm in agreement of both of those, so I won't go into mine. Yeah, I'm spot on.
I just think he could really take the next step if he builds on what he finished with last year. Phenomenal work rate. Then he's also got the class, to finish it off as well. So really, he could leapfrog a few of the New South Wales outside backs. He could comfortable on the wing. I think I don't know whether he's a tall man. He's certainly not the height of Campbell Graham, etc. But he wouldn't be out of place as a hardworking winger as well. So yeah, I got fairly big raps on Taylor May.
Yep, and you're overrated.
Look, not overrated as such. I don't want to sound like I'm sitting on the fence, but I think both Jerome Buller and Kai Pearce-Paul have got to show that they're living up to their potential, living up what they're getting paid to do. So Buller's heading towards $1 million a season. They're talking about him moving into other clubs. high please Paul. I want to blame Newcastle more than him for that. So I wouldn't call them overrated, but we got to see them living up to their potential and living up to their reputation, I think, is the big one.
Spot on, mate. I agree with both of those. The only thing I would add is Taylan May. I think we talked about this maybe the back end of last year when he was at Penrith. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why the raps were bigger for Tungo than they were for May, because for me, May, like, he's a beast. I love the aggression. Like you said, his carries out of the back end. Defensively, he's good. He got found out a couple of times defensively at the back end last year, but to me, that was more to do with fitness than anything else coming in with no preseason. Yeah, I just think the upside for him is enormous. Coach, is he under pressure? We didn't do this for the bunnies. I think we're on the assumption that Bennett's never going to be under pressure.
Bennett will be okay, mate, I'm sure.
I think you're right. Yeah. The only pressure might be whether new opportunities come knocking, like PNG, and which one to take. Of course, I think even though Benji's been extended, there's he's got a lot. If he can galvanise that team and block out the distractions, and who knows, maybe the Tigers get their act together behind the scenes. But just where we sit at the moment, I think there will be pressure just based on just the circumstances of where they're at.
Yeah, just with results. I've got no, but there should be. Because, he's obviously just been extended, as you said. I think a bit of player power won there over the board. Yep. And his agent done a sensational job to find out an extension through all that. But yeah, look, to your point, this is his team now. He's been there long enough. He's gotten some of the players in. He's moved a few players out. So this is a year that you're going to expect green shoots and a bit of a raise up the ladder, or eventually the love affair might start to dwindle a little bit. So I hope he does well, even for those long suffering Tigers fans. It's been a rough trot for him. But more results, a few more losses, another season where they come down the bottom four. The noise will get louder, but see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Dally M, top try scorer?
I've got Taylan May. I'm just really impressed. He gets on a one-on-one situation down, inside the opposition's 10. It's very hard to stop. So I think him. Look, I'd love to see Buller, to our point earlier, start to ignite that coming through the back line. But yeah, I've just got Taylan May as I think's going to have a breakout season.
I like it. To me, Dalliam's RP, he'll just be consistent as he always is. Never seems to get old. I really like Taruva. I nearly had him for the underrated. I just think, there were question marks because he was at Penrith. Could he do it elsewhere? I think he's been pretty hard for most teams to handle, and I really like how he seems just to be on board with the team culture building, and he looks like one of those players that would be really good for the group. So yeah, banging in tries, I reckon you'll be...
You always get an 8 out of 10 for Tavuba. You know what you're going to get. He always puts in and... certainly been a good signing for the Tigers.
He has. Like I said, I would have had him finishing higher if it wasn't for the other stuff going on. So this potentially, if they can get their act together there, maybe higher, but I see improvement again off him, so I reckon 11th.
Yeah, I've got him bottom four, mate. I've got him at 14th, but yeah. I've
got to put someone there.
Got to put someone there, and unfortunately, while they have improved, I've got him at 14th.
That's fair. To me, the mental edge is the exuberance of youth. Some of those guys will continue to step up, and they don't have as many of those scars of the past. So I think there's that. I think Benji is really good at doing things his way, and then just calling out inconsistencies in what the media are saying. I really like how he operates. He's like, this is how I do things. I'm taking a break. He's getting the family balance right. This would be all the sort of things that you would have heard me talk to you about. Like he's getting really clear on what he wants. And if he can really build that us against the world sort of attitude in the team, I think that could be a massive strength. On the flip side, we've talked about, some of the weaknesses could be, but I also think that on the flip side of youth is that there can be some problems there as well.
Yeah, mate, you do see Benji's grown into the role each year, so it seems like he's getting a bit of a clear picture in his head of who he wants to be as a coach. And, yeah, to your point, mate, that can only be positive.
Agree. And Supercoach, mate.
Yeah, look, the two May brothers will be big. So Taylor May starts at 617,000. He'll be a must for me to start. Terrell May coming off a bumper years over 800,000. Hard to spend that when you've also trying to fit Payne Haas in the side. So it'd be one of those two for me, and I'll be going Haas. There's a little bit of talk that Jarrell Skelton may not make the round one team. So keep an eye out for that. If he doesn't, it'll certainly be a rookie who we call cheapy in the Supercoach world. So keep an eye out for that one as well.
Yeah, nice. The Bronx. Strengths. This should be an easy one. Writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, star power across the park I've got here, mate. Yeah, really impressive. Obviously, you know, Haas, Walsh, Kerrigan, Mann, Stagg, the list goes on. Really settled. Coach has obviously proved himself at every level. The strengths are abundance for the Broncos.
Yeah, largely unchanged squad. Mam's going to be there from pre-season. Their confidence will be high. There's a hard edge about them now, which is what they talked about all last year. And I just see their stars going to a whole other level. So I think they're going to be there and thereabouts again. The only weaknesses that I could come up with is can they back up now that they're the hunted? And, you know, what's been spoken about before is Madge's traditionally had a good first up year or two, but then there tends to be a bit of burnout. And I don't think it's physical burnout because every team works their ass off, but mentally he really pushes them to the absolute limit. And like, will that be a factor? I actually think he seems to have learnt a heap. I don't think it will be, but that's the potential. The two old fellas in the halves could be an issue if they get busted. And then Origin. But apart from that, mate, I think they're right in the mix again.
Yeah. I think he needs to lean heavily on Haas and Carrigan. They're the two leaders of the team, right? So that mental second year in, you know, we've found very hard to back up. I know Penrith made a mockery of that, obviously, over the last few years. But to win back-to-back is, you know, you go back to the 90s, it's only happened once or twice. So it'll be really hard for them mentally to get back up again, to your point. But I think with Haas and Carrigan, they got really two, still quite young, but two really switched on leaders of that team. You know, obviously they've got a few of the old fellas that have been around again that would love to win one more on the way out. But I think if they rely on them, he relies on them to make sure that they're fresh and really still hungry. I think that's it. I got a little question mark over the edge. So Jordan Rickey and Brendan Piakura will probably start on the edge. Piakura's got a little bit of a niggle at the moment. But outside of that, it does start to drift off a little bit. So they could probably do with another edge back roll, but we're clutching at straws, let's be honest. It's a very impressive 17.
Absolutely. But,
you know, full of rep players or future rep players. You know, they're going to be a serious team to beat again this year.
Yeah. Most under pressure, underrated, overrated. Again, hard to come up with something here. For me, the pressure falls on Walsh to back up what he did at the back end last year. Do you remember, like, 2 months out from the end of the season, they were talking about how inconsistent he was? Yeah. It'd be really interesting. He looked really fatigued, I thought, mentally at the back end of the Kangaroo Tour. I reckon he's got it in him, mate. I reckon he's just going to go from strength to strength. Underrated, this might seem a bit stupid to people, but Katoni Staggs, I just can't see how he misses Origin this year if he starts the way he finished. Absolute beast. I'm a massive fan. He's one, I think I've said it before on the pod, you know, favourites at other teams. He's my favourite from other teams. I love just wholeheartedly. He's aggressive on both ends of the park. Love him. Overrated. What was the commentary around Hunt last year, and then they poked fun about it, like the inconsistency. I still thought he was this inconsistent last year, particularly defensively. Again, he won a comp. It's hard for us to be too critical, but a year older will be interesting.
Yeah, I think Hunt's a nine. right? I'm a long-suffering Dragons fan. He took about 1.2 million off us for about 7 years in a row, yeah, and only got us to one semi-final with a seven on his back.
Yeah.
He's never been a halfback, and I'll argue till I'm blue in the face about that. He's a nine, no question. And you talk about a little bit of under pressure. Billy Wallace is going to start the year injured, so he's still coming back. I thought Billy Wallace was one of their best players throughout the course of the year. He missed the final few games, unfortunately, but he got him. He got him a long way to there. So, yeah, I can see Hunt start to transition out of that side. And as a Dragons fan, I'm quite happy for anyone to call him overrated. Don't worry about that. You want to talk about some a silly one. My underrated player for the Broncos is Payne Haas. Now, that might sound ludicrous to a few people, but at 26 years old, for him to do what he's done, I've got no doubt that Haas is going to be the greatest front row ever to play the game. Now, that may sound like a big call, but you think at 26 for him to do what he's doing, front rowers don't mature until
26,
you know, 28, 29, yeah. So it's a monster thing for him to achieve. If he stays in the game, especially with the Broncos, I think it'd be great to see him do that. For me, I've already got him past some of the greats, but if he stays continuing what he's doing, it may sound silly to call him underrated, but he's a different class. He's absolutely phenomenal, and he's already one of the best ever to do it, but will be hands down the greatest front row ever to play the game.
Yeah, he's engine. That play, was it the prelim final when he charged down the kick?
Yeah.
Went clear. Oh, mate.
Yeah, unbelievable. He does things that he shouldn't be able to do for a man his size, plays the minutes he does. Just a special athlete, no questions. Yeah,
absolutely, which is why he's my Dally M pick for the Bronx. He will be there, like, consistent every single week.
Yeah.
I think top try scorer. I think Walsh is just going to keep finding his way to the line. Smokey for Origin. Again, some may say this is not a Smokey, but he's sort of been in and out of the side for about 4 or 5 years. Katoni Staggs, again, I'm a bit fanboy on Katoni, but I think he's a massive chance.
Yeah, I've got Ezra Mann down there. I think there'll be a little bit of a change for... I know he's I think, may have started on the bench for the Maroons. I think full season to what you said, and they're going to be firing the Bronx, so I think he'll get it. Dally M, look, I've got Walsh only for the fact I think they might manage Haas's minutes early, and Walsh is going to have all the media behind him. So anyone voting on those Dally M's, he's probably going to pick up a few extra bonus points, a couple along the way. Yeah. But yeah, I'm expecting a big year. You know, you've seen it in the old days. You've even got the jersey on as we speak. A lot of those blokes come back from their first kangaroo tour and just go bang. And I think Walsh, especially if they can keep him fresh mentally, with all the media hype, you know, the Broncos are going to play packed houses at Suncorp. If they can keep him fresh mentally, I expect him to go to an absolute another level, which is scary.
Which is scary. Scary.
Yeah.
And apparently he's a student of the game. And, you know, you don't see a great deal of footage, and the footage is often tailored to the media. But every time there were groups of people talking about stuff, like there was one particular that stuck in my head, was Moses and Cleary were talking about kicking the ball, and standing there asking lots of questions was Reece Walsh. So, yeah, as frightening as it sounds, I reckon he gets better.
Could get better. A bit, one I wouldn't have guessed until I looked into it. Chibosaki scored 25 tries last year. So for a guy who was playing Q Cup not long before that, for him to have done that, so don't sleep on Chibosaki. We've mentioned almost everyone in the Broncos side because they're just absolutely stacked.
But, stacked.
Yeah, he's a good one. I've got a couple for Supercoach, mate. Brendan Piakura will be 300,000, absolute cheapy category. If he gets the round one, well, he will get the nod if he's fit. He's a must-have. We mentioned Payne Haas earlier. You've either got to start with Haas or Tyrell May.
Is that because they play big minutes?
Yeah, big minutes, work rates through the roof, break a lot of tackles, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walsh is going to be a little bit too expensive for me. He's going to be 835, but I can't knock anyone who wants to start with Walsh. Hmm. And there's a little whisper up here in the Brisbane media that Xavier Coates' brother, I think his name's Philip Coates, has been phenomenal at preseason training at Red Hill. Probably won't start round one, but he's certainly going to get plenty of game time over the trials. And if he impresses, could get the nod. And if he does start, then he's a must-have. So that'll be an interesting watch, not only for Supercoach, but for rugby league, for NRL.
I like that. Yeah, good cheapie. I've got him finishing fourth, mate. What about you?
Yeah, I've got them in the top four, finishing third. I think I don't know whether he can redline them all the way after winning. So I think he'll go about this tactically. But I still think at the end of the day, playing up here at Suncorp's a huge advantage for him, and they'll get in the top four, finishing third for me.
Yeah, I like it. We're agreement. The coach is under zero pressure.
Zero pressure. As much as I love Flanagan, I'd happy have him at the Dragons tomorrow if I could. Yeah, zero pressure, mate. Love him.
Yeah, yep. That could be the New South Welshman and us both speaking as well. Yeah. The mental edge, the champs, there'll be a swagger about them. Madge puts in a lot of time and effort into the mental side of the game. They've got so much class. The depth, I just think mentally they're going to be, again, just hard to beat. The only thing is, can they back up? How will they go on being the hunted? And but other than that, I think they're going to be a lock for a lot of people's top four.
Yeah, you mentioned the swagger. That's a big one up here. The old boys got into the Broncos a lot, like the current crop, a lot over the last couple of years, about you haven't earned anything. Why are you walking around Brisbane like you own the joint? Mm. Well, Haas and Carrigan and Walsh's of the like, they've just won a comp and have been pretty bloody good doing it. So that swagger could make them even more dangerous, which, again, is a scary proposition.
It is. All right, let's move on to our first of our miscellaneous teams, as in it doesn't fall into the other two categories. Yeah. The Storm, or the Storms, as Hindy calls them. Initial thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be rinse and repeat for the Storm. They're just one smooth operation, right, from tip to top. You talk about coaches under pressure. We've just picked four. The four coaches, are probably none of them are under pressure, right? Bellamy is God status when it comes to coaching. And that's what I got it as their strength, mate, is their experience and class. So you think Munster, Green, Hughes, you know, you would be hard-pressed, with the exception of maybe Cleary, of finding someone better in the comp at any of those positions. Yeah. Bellamy, best coach in the comp. So there's no question that, once again, that class in the key positions is going to be their strength. I've got a little weakness, a little bit of a concern for them up front with their big men. Obviously, yeah, they lost Nelson, who's gone into boxing. Essie Katoa had that really sickening injury playing for his country. So they've signed Hetherington. Look, I'm not really high on Hetherington. I think he's had plenty of chances and he's never really caught on. Bellamy does have a knack of getting players up. But, yeah, they're probably my strengths and weaknesses for the Storm this year, mate.
Yeah, and I can't argue with any of that. They'll be consistent again. They're always there, nucleus of the same teams previous seasons. They're always good defensively when it matters, although they did leak a fair few more points than usual last year. And I'm with you. Like, they've lost some key players, so depth may be tested. But the only other weakness is I heard the other day, I can't remember, it might have been on Kenty's podcast, they were talking about they're still hearing noise about potentially Bellamy and the Gold Coast. But again, like, it doesn't seem to bother him, but does it bother the players if that noise gets louder?
Yeah, you would think Bellamy has this one year at a time approach. So if I'm down there at the Storm, I'm thinking to myself, I'm just riding this wave as long as I can with him, and we'll deal with it year by year. It doesn't seem to affect them. So there is stronger word, but you could have said that 3 years ago that there was stronger word about him going. So we'll see what happens. I think they got a little bit of a concern if Grant is probably the key player for injury-wise. I think if Grant goes down, they've got Wishart, but Grant's different, right? Grant's special. They run that three fullback attacking style with Munster and Hughes being glorified fullbacks. So I think that's a real big watch out for them. But I can't see Bellamy, you know, talking about the Titans. And even if he does decide to go to the Titans, I can't see that really affecting them, mate.
No, okay. I was scratching for something. So, for me, most pressure will fall on Farlongo, as much as I reckon he could be absolutely anything. The rest of that spine's set and forget. He's replacing Papenhuyzen, and he's done it a fair bit. He should be good, but can he do it for a whole season? Is he even going to be the guy? So that'll be interesting. Underrated. Oh, I'm a massive fan of Joe Chan. I liked his old man. He was at Para for a bit. Big mobile. He's got a bit of football about him. So, yeah, I'm a fan of him. And overrated, again, hard to find something. Time will tell if Wishart can be a, like when he goes to the Bears next year, can he be a consistent first grader when he gets his own position? Maybe we won't find that out this year, but yeah, the jury's out on him for mine.
Yeah. Look, certainly Farlongo with the Pappy comparisons, right? They're going to look at that straight away. You talk about Joe Chan. You can add Josh King and Stefan in there. They're going to get plenty of minutes to show what they got. And I've got Stefan is there. We spoke about it earlier with Buller as an example. It's time for him to live up to the reputation. I thought the back end of his season was really good. He come out of Origin really strong. So it'll be the opportunity now for him to go. You know, a lot of those players go to Melbourne, and that second year is their big one. You know, that first year they work on the basics. They almost learn how to play rugby league again. And that second year they really go. So it'll be a time for Stefan, especially on the back of losing Nelson and Essie Katoa, that he steps up and really takes ownership of the team, becomes the alpha in that front row, that first carry. Because there's going to be plenty of game time and plenty of opportunity for him, mate. I've got no one as a smoky for a rep debut because they've probably all bloody played rep football. They've got a couple of the Kiwi and Tongan boys in the forwards that have already played. So I think it'll be rinse and repeat for the Storm. They'll know what they're going to get during Origin. They'll be prepared for it like they always are and see how we go with it, mate.
Agree. Coach under no pressure, like we've already said. Dallam's going to be, Harry Grant's going to be in and about that every week. Top try scorer, no-brainer, Coates. And I've got him finishing second because I just can't see enough. And I've backed against him too many times before over the last 20 years. And I just think, like you said, rinse and repeat. They'll be up there again.
Yeah, I'll go one further, mate. Grant will win the Dally M overall, not just for the Storm. I think he's going to come out of that kangaroo tour and just be on fire. Coates will leading try scorer overall. And I got him finishing first. I don't necessarily think they'll win the comp. I have to have a bigger think about that. But I got them finishing first, mate. Even with the changes in the forward pack and Farlongo in for Pappy, going down to Melbourne, they're super professional. It's a hard road trip away. And there's been very little press out of the off season. Like always, they just go about their job professionally, right? So I think, I got them finishing first. There's some interesting ones for Supercoach. Farlongo is probably a must have at 511,000. And Grant is just a step above any other hooker. Brayley did quite well at the back end of the last year for Sharks. But Grant at 600,000 is a must have. Depending on what we see happen with Essie Katoa's slot, potentially could be a rookie there, so they have to keep an eye out. And then the two old stages in the halves, Hughes at 630 and Munster at 680, I probably won't be able to find the money for them to start the season, but again, can't knock anyone who has a crack at them. But Farlongo and Grant for me is a start, mate.
That's good. It's interesting what you say. Like you'll end up, you got to get into Melbourne, you got to beat him. Every year, like I was going through the teams with my young fella the other day, and he's like, is it just me or does every team look like they've added and they've got better? And it does look like that. But I think it does look like that on paper every year, but I think the closeness of the comp last year, the how hard it is now to pick 1 through 17, obviously the boss is looking to introduce more measures to even up the contest. But they just find a way to win.
Yeah, 100% they do. It's just that little bit about them. Obviously, that spine. If Farlongo can, match anywhere near his potential with the other three they've got, It's just very impressive. So they'll look, if they don't finish first again, they don't win the minor premiership, it'll be bloody close, right? It won't, unless there's a couple of major injuries to key players, they'll be right there when the rips are cracking.
Absolutely. The mental edge, we've talked a lot of these things before. Obviously, Bellamy sets really high standards. They've got some class across important positions. But it's also the culture. Like, that, there's obviously something special down there. They're renowned for building culture that works. They talk about having players that they have to care. Like, there's much celebrated system when they go down and have coffee with Bellyache, and it's making, you know, watching how they behave. They're looking after people of good character. Again, they have the mental edge. Whether they've got it enough to win the comp, yeah, that's showing to be a bit of a problem in the last few years. Actually, since Cameron Smith finished up, weaknesses, I don't know. I don't see any mentally. They are rock solid.
Yeah, you hear all the buzzwords around rugby league with culture and standards and all those things, but the Storm live and breathe it, right? It's not just talk with them. So it'll be interesting. You know, you talk about the old doomsday of Queensland winning all those Origin series in a row. Similar to the Storm, they've come up against a Penrith side where if Penrith hadn't have been there, Storm could have won another two or three grand finals in that period, right? But Penrith side was phenomenal. They've done what they can in the day, and, mate, they'll be there again. Whether it's against a Penrith or a Broncos or someone in between, they're not going to be far off again this year.
Agree. And I think those two teams you mentioned will be in amongst it as well. But we will save the Panthers for another week. Mate, solid first up. We're novices in this space, apart from the hundreds of thousands of hours that we've waffled this stuff in the pub back in the Fox Sports days doing the Friday crossword, debating and arguing rugby league to death. Mate, I thought for a first up attempt we did quite well, but we'll be proved one way or another in about 8 months from now.
Yeah, we will. It'll be interesting. Even I'm sure we'll get plenty of comments on socials around some opinions around ladders and under pressure and overrated players. But that's part of the fun. Send through comments through, and if you want to hear about anything else that we haven't spoken about certain teams, we'll do our best to find out the information.
Absolutely. And I might do a few articles for these ones too, because I really want to see the public ramp up and really have a crack at our opinions, because that'll be a bit of fun.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait to read them on the next week's show.
So, yeah, that's a good point. I'll have to make sure we get it ready before then so we can have a good laugh. It's a good call. Very good, mate. Maybe we don't wait till next week to get this next one out. We'll have to have a conversation about that off air. But for the listeners, stay tuned. We're going to get through every team, and then we'll probably do a bit more as the season gets closer. Because let's face it, at this time of year, everyone's crying out for the season to start. Everyone's got high hopes for their team. And, I don't know about you, but I just can't get enough of reading and watching stuff that is around the footy season starting.
Yeah, it's bloody exciting, mate. Already looking forward to next week to talk about the next four teams, mate. It'll be awesome.
Absolutely. See you then, mate.
Cheers.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.